stuff. And perhaps there's a part of you that might think parts of the story of Jesus are a scam. But what if? What if it's true? What would that mean? What if encountering Jesus can change your life? What if a single encounter with him could bring renewed purpose, spiritual rebirth, provision in times of need, freedom from sin and guilt, and the promise of eternal life and resurrection hope? What if the story of Jesus is true? So what if Jesus is who he said he was? Well, first, who did Jesus say he was? Because all this discussion, did Jesus say he was God? Was he just a man? Was he a good teacher? Was he a leader? Was he a leader of people? Was he a cultural changer? Or was he God? What did Jesus say that he was? Did he say that he was God? Well, firstly, in John 10:30, he says, "I and the Father are one." I and the Father are one. He's saying that God and him are one. That's a hard picture to get our head around. What did that mean to the Jews? Well, the Jews, when they heard that, decided that they were going to kill him because he was a blasphemer. What they understood him saying was, "I am God." And that is not what you say in that world. But Jesus made a claim. But that's not the only thing. Remember the story of the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. And she made a statement to Jesus saying, "I know the Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." And Jesus said, "I, the one speaking to you, I am the one." Jesus said that I am the promised Messiah. I am the Christ. I am the one that you are waiting for. In Matthew 16, Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus agreed with him. Jesus agreed that that is a true statement. It goes on. And Jesus talks in the third person in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave him his Son." In John 11, "It is for God's glory that God's Son may be glorified through it." Over and over in the Gospels, Jesus is saying or alluding to and using the language of the day to say that I am God. In John 10:36, he says, "Why do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said I am God's son?" The Jewish leaders who knew the law, who knew God, who academically knew who he was, who taught the people who God was, is saying you're God. Jesus declared that he is God. To a first century Jew, the Son of God means God. It means that he's the king. He's the one who's anointed and ready. And Jesus made that claim. In Matthew 11, he says, "No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son. If anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Jesus is saying to all of the Pharisees and all the religious leaders, "You're not the way to God. I am." Jesus is saying, "You've got this whole religious structure. You've got everything set up. You've got it all in play. You dictate what religion is. You dictate who God is. And you're not doing it very well." And Jesus puts himself in that place and says, "The only way of knowing God is through me. And if you know me, then you know God." No wonder the religious leaders hated him. No wonder the religious leaders wanted to take action against him. But then Jesus escalated it again. In John 8, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." Now, that's not just bad grammar. But when Jesus said, I am before Abraham, what he's referring to is the way that God described himself to the people of Israel. God described himself as I am who I am. And that was the name of God. That name the Jewish people would not say. If you said that name, you were prosecuted under the law. You're not allowed to say it because that name is so sacred, I am. And yet Jesus says, I am. Jesus used not just the sacred words to describe God, but he used the sacred words to describe God to describe himself. Jesus declared so plainly that he was God. To the degree in John 8, straight after he made that statement, the Pharisees took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself. The Pharisees knew exactly what he was saying. The people in Jesus' day knew exactly what he was saying. Jesus was saying, I am God. But he went further with the I am. He described many different elements of who he is. One of the things was, I am the bread of life. Jesus is saying that I am the sustenance that you need. I am the daily food. I am what sustains your life. I am the basis of everything that we have. Jesus said, I am the door. He's saying this religious structure is not the way to God. It is through me. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is saying there's only one way to the Father. There's only one way to eternity. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father except through me. Jesus is declaring that there's only one way to get to God, and that's through Jesus. But it wasn't just Jesus' mates who recorded this. We just read about Pilate. And Pilate said, you're innocent. He's saying, he didn't want to touch Jesus because he knew he thought he knew who Jesus might be. And then Pilate's wife came to him and said, while Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him the message, don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him. She knew something about Jesus. She knew he was innocent of the accusations of the Pharisees and the religious leaders. She knew there was consequences for crossing God. And even the guards at Calvary, when Jesus was crucified, said, surely he is the Son of God. The people in the day knew that Jesus is God. So did Jesus say that he was God? Yes. Jesus made clear to the people of the day, he is who he is. So what difference does that make? If Jesus is truly God, could Jesus be killed? If Jesus was killed, would he stay dead? It goes on in the Bible, and we hear story of Paul, and Paul writes to churches. And he wrote to the church of Corinth. Now, to describe the city of Corinth, it's kind of a mixture of schoolies on the Gold Coast mixed with Mardi Gras, mixed with New Year's Eve. So it's a party city, or it's a city of iniquity. And Paul, this upright Jew, this religious leader, this pure man chasing for the gospel, went into this city of iniquity. And he talked to people and connected to them and told them the story of Jesus, and they were transformed, and he planted a church, and the church started to grow, and people were changed and people transformed. People from this city came to know who God was and walked in forgiveness and wholeness and purity and innocence. Then Paul went back to Rome, and the people started to practice their old ways. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 wrote this passage that I'd like to read. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sin in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. The people in Corinth knew Paul's story, knew that he was a persecutor of the church, knew that he hunted down people with those beliefs, knew he persecuted them and he killed them. And he met Jesus and his life was transformed. And he stood in that place of saying, all of this what if is true. All of this what if Jesus is true. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is God. So Paul's argument's pretty basic. He says, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we're a bunch of fools, we bought into a lie, and we should all be pitied. Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we've insulted God because we said that he rose Jesus from the dead and that Jesus was the Messiah. And if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then he wasn't the Messiah and we have everything all wrong. We're a pretty pathetic bunch. So if Jesus was God, and if Jesus rose from the dead, what does that mean? C.S. Lewis declared that Jesus was either a liar, a lunatic, or he was Lord. He was either crazy or he was the Christ. We have that choice to make as well. Jesus said he was God. The people who knew him said that he was God. The people who hated him effectively said he was God. So who do we say that Jesus is? Because it makes a difference. If Jesus was God, and if Jesus died, then what did he die for? He died for me. He died for you. He died for our sin. He died because we had put a barrier between us and the Father. We had stopped the promise of eternity because of our lives. And Jesus came as God to live on life, his life on earth as one of us, to show us how to live, to die for my sins, to give me healing, to give me hope, and to give me a doorway to eternity. Many of us have experienced the life that God brings. Many of us have experienced forgiveness, healing, and the wholeness that comes through knowing God. My story is that I was going through a pretty low part of my life, and I came to that point of saying, I need to know if this stuff is true. And I prayed a very simple prayer. God, if you're real, prove it. And if you're not, I'll go find something that is real. And over the next 6 months, time and time and time again, God showed who he is. And after 6 months, I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew. You know how you know stuff? Just you know stuff. I knew that God was real. I knew that God, through the understanding that we have of the church, through the Bible, I knew that God was real. So I was left with a choice. Do I say God's real, I don't care, and walk away? Do I say I know God's real, but I'll just let that sit and live my own life? Or do I follow him and chase after him and serve him? So that was, I don't even remember when that was. It started with a 9. 93, 94, I don't know, 88? No, it was 88. It started with an 8. So that was in 87. I realised that God was real and I've served him in full-time ministry since then. Because I can't go through life saying God is real and I'll live my own life my own way and not care. I can't say that God is real and I don't care, I don't want to know. If God is who God says he is, if Jesus is who Jesus says he is, if Jesus said that I am God and then died for me to have life, then how then can I not give him everything? I say that. Most of us say that. That we have given our lives because God gave his life for me. I want to finish with a story of another tomb. A man named Howard Carter in 1922 was in Egypt, and he was an archaeologist. And they just discovered these steps going down to a door. And they walked down, they dug out all the dirt and the sand, they got down to the door, and he opened the door and looked in. And everyone's standing around, amazed at what might be there. And they said, "What can you see? What can you see?" And he said, "I see marvelous things." And he came back up to the top of the steps, hands, his face in his hands, just crying, crying. And they said, what's going on? And he says, "Do you know, 10 years ago, we dug 18 inches away. For 10 years, they'd been looking for something that was so close." The challenge for us is that we know the story of Jesus. We know who he is. Are we going to let that sit and do nothing with it for another 10 years? Are we going to ignore it and hope it goes away? Or are we going to ignore it and hope it comes back later? He came to that point of going, "If only I had grabbed a hold of what I knew 10 years ago." If only we can grab what we know to be true and chase after it. Let's pray. What if...